And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear.
What's up, everybody?
And this week we are talking about episodes 11 and 12 of The Office's 7th season, Classy Christmas Part 1 and Part 2.
Yes.
Now,
let's clarify,
yeah, because
last week we were kind of like,
we're on the fence.
Is this another
it.
Situation where Netflix, you know, took the reins and was like, fuck you guys, we're going to separate all of these into two parts?
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I sat down this week. Like, we looked it up, I think, right after we finished recording last time. And then this morning I went to sit down and rewatch the episodes and I went, oh, shit, part two is only 18 minutes.
This yeah, and the first one's 25. So, and yeah. guess who got to cover the first one? But, yeah, so this is basically, I guess, played as one episode on television.
Yeah.
But for our purposes, the way they are on Netflix, which is, I believe, the way most people are watching it with us.
Yeah.
It is two parts. So that's how we're going to do it here on the show.
Fwah, fwah, fwah.
So before we start off, Bear, do you have notes for what we covered last week on the show?
Yes, I do. So last week, we covered Woof.com.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Where actually. Ryan's creation,
his
if you
social
will.
Media site.
Yeah. Woof.com got an offer from Washington University, and basically the people in the office who did invest were pressuring him to sell, but Michael held out. And that's basically the whole
Yeah, that's
episode.
The long and short of it.
Yeah. Dwight created Hay Place in the parking lot, ignored Angela and her quote-unquote needs, and she met a gentleman in the parking lot.
It was very charming, swashbuckling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's single. His wife had passed away, so Angela's looking to get her claws up in there.
Up in there.
Up okay. in there.
Hot image.
And in the end, Michael puts so much pressure on Ryan that he cracks and he ends up selling the company. Which Michael
Oh, that's just that one episode.
On. Yeah, that's just
oh,
one episode.
Okay. What's the second episode?
The second episode is China.
Oh, that's right.
Where Michael reads one Newsweek article and him and Oscar, Mr. Actually,
yeah.
get into a debate and everybody is making fun of Oscar by saying Michael's obviously smarter than him,
mm-hmm.
which everybody knows is untrue, but Oscar still takes the need to...
They're fucking with Oscar.
Yeah, essentially. Also... Dwight, being landlord, has officially kicked into full gear. He's put the lights on timers, where, like, if you don't move, the lights go out. Mm. He's taken the toilet paper down to half a ply.
Which I could just imagine, you take it off and your thumb goes
yeah,
through
right?
it. Like...
and let's see what else. Oh, Nate is just, like, the star of this
He's
episode.
Cool, yeah.
He's
Nate's
a
cool.
gym. But, Pam fakes... finding a new office building so that Dwight can put all the changes back. Apparently, he's been cutting the tampons in half. I don't know who's the unlucky one to not get the string,
Hot
but
image.
But then he actually cracks because Pam has like an existential crisis about not being able to be successful
be good at
anything.
Life.
Yeah, and he gives her the answer, and so he's like, I do not have any sympathy for her.
Mm.
I want that noted. And yeah, no, he let her win and he cut down the roach billboard
oh,
on
yeah.
the side of the building.
The giant, like, gas thing they put
yeah.
over. All right, and that's that.
Yep.
So, all
that
right.
brings us to season 7, episode 11. 7-11.
Yep.
Classy Christmas party part. Or, I'm sorry, classics.
Classy Christmas.
Oh!
Classy Christmas Part 1.
That's the one.
And it starts off...
Thank God I'm not doing it.
Speak of the devil, this one starts off with Nate.
Yes!
As there, he's taking the photo outside of the office, or the Dunder Mifflin Christmas card.
Mm-hmm.
So they get one, and then everybody's like, oh, it's cold, let's go inside. Everybody's freezing. And they're all overacting.
Yeah.
Like, you could... like, ooh, this is what you do when you're cold. Like, you could tell these people live in L.A. And, like... Michael's like, oh, no, let's take one fun one. So
yeah.
Jim's like, okay, everybody, Charlie's Angel pose. They, like, do the
one Charlie's Angel
yeah.
pose.
They all do the thing with the gun. And then that's when, like, Kevin's like, well, why don't we do this? And he wants to do, like, the honeymooners thing.
Yeah, honey.
Like, I'll punch you to the moon. And then
yeah.
girls are like, let's go shopping. So then they like they decide we're all going to jump in the air at the same time. That'll be our fun one.
Yeah.
And they can't do it. And everybody sucks.
Everybody's
all over the place. And then at one point, Nate says, okay, on the count of three. And he starts
three.
Two, one. And, like, everybody's all over the place. They didn't get the shot. So
I like that cold
that was
opening.
Good. It was,
that's like every family photo with small children ever.
So ridiculous. I just love the fact that he started from three. So the
Nate
show,
must be protected.
Well, and he's wearing, like, his... I swear to God, he's wearing the same hoodie as a girl I used to date wore, like this, you know, in those hippie hoodies.
Oh, the drug rug.
It looks like it smells of patchouli.
Oh, I know which girlfriend you're talking about. Very distinctive.
Yeah. Anyway, so Pam, the show proper opens, and Pam got rid of the party planning committee since she's the office admin.
Yes.
She's like, no more. She's running things. Mike arrives as Santa, and he expects people to have problems.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Anybody drunk yet? Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, Meredith's like, Stanley's happy because they're getting a certain kind of cookie.
Sugar-free.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Andy. Angela's even like, things are good.
Yeah, everybody's happy.
He's like, my kids are growing up. This is great. So he's just happy there's no drama. Kelly comes out, and because she was the corporate, what is it, the print in all colors?
Yeah.
Executive in training.
Yeah. Minority executive in training.
Yeah. She got to pick out the corporate gift for the branch.
Yes.
And Gabe wanted fleece blankets, which are cool.
I would love a fleece blanket.
She went with the Hello Kitty laptop sleeves. And they are insane. And everybody, of course, is disappointed. But then we see Gabe, like, me and Aaron used our blankets. And, like, they smile at each other. And then he does a talking head. He's like, of course we're still dating. Why do you always ask? Like, they're just waiting.
Why do you ask me so frequently?
They're just waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one. So Daryl does a talking head. Motherfucker's all jacked up because his daughter Jada is coming for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he likes, what is it, the iCarly?
Oh, yeah. He's like, I TiVo'd a bunch of her shows that she likes. iCarly, the kid with the camera. He's a cool kid.
Yeah, he said something like he talks nice.
Got a good voice.
Yeah, something weird. So Jim sees snow. It's snowing outside. And he's like, oh, look, it's the first snow of the year. And Dwight, like, makes fun of
him. He goes total douche mode immediately.
Oh, Jim, are you a little girl? You want to get a cup of hot cocoa? Like, making fun
of
him.
Tell us all your dreams.
And then he says, it's a dusting. It's not even real snow. So we see Jim walk outside, makes a snowball, comes in, and just decks Dwight in the face.
Right in the face.
Boom. And everybody starts laughing. It's almost like being on the schoolyard again and like the bully does something. Everybody's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, right.
Stoop kid. He got him. Like, it's fucking hilarious.
But I almost said Oz. But he gets so defensive.
It is
like,
Oz. Let's be fair here.
He
that
stands
is Oz.
Up and he's like, there's a pebble in there. That could have killed me.
And he demands an apology. Jim's like, fuck you.
Yeah, basically.
And Dwight challenges him to a snowball on the first snowfall. Yeah, real snowfall. The first real snowfall of the year. What?
Yeah, I was trying to say that, but the words came out.
Yeah, you're having a hard time today.
Yep.
Can't wait for your episode. So we see Kevin ask Angela if she's bringing her new boyfriend to the party. And she keeps referring to him as the senator. And Kevin and Oscar, like, actually, they keep butting in. They're like, oh, the state senator.
Well, I feel like Kevin's just mimicking Oscar.
Oh, yeah,
he has no idea what the difference between a state and a U.S. senator actually is.
And Oscar's, like, just being all catty about it.
Yeah, he is. The state senator.
Yeah. So Angela does a talking head, and she's like, do you know how many photographers are at a ribbon cutting? Two. And she's like, so obviously.
Over here, Angela. Angela, over here.
I'm assuming a Garrity supermarket opened, and he cut the ribbon, and Angela was all there. So Pam, they're about to begin the party in the conference room, and she pretty much sums up all past Christmas episodes. This is not a place to get blackout drunk or to have some kind of existential crisis. Yeah. Like, and that's when Toby has an announcement.
Well, I love how they had questions.
Oh, yeah. There's like five people raised their hands about it, and she's like, why are there questions about that? So Toby comes up front. He has an announcement.
Oh, poor Toby.
Why poor Toby?
Because of what Michael says to him, but go on.
What does Michael say to him? Go ahead.
Sorry, sad sack redhead. Did the boring police catch up to you? Death to Toby.
Yeah, death to Toby. Yeah, death to Toby's the one that stuck out to me. And Toby's just like, Michael. But he does a whole thing about how he is going to be doing jury duty, and it's a high-profile case. Yeah, and he's going to be on leave. It's a high-profile case. And Holly Flax will be coming in as a temporary replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, asking him what case it is. And Toby's like, oh, I can't really tell you. But he's, like, touching his neck.
He's rubbing the back of his neck. Yeah.
And Ryan's like, he's touching his neck. It's the Strangler. It's the Scranton Strangler case.
Toby's so popular in this moment.
Toby's quote, I'll be up to my neck in jury duty. And everybody's like, oh, shit, Toby. Oh. And
that's what Michael's like. That's not even funny.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. So, corporate is sending the temp replacement. It's going to be Holly.
Yeah.
And that's when Michael lights up. And Aaron's like, who is that? And so Michael's, like, explaining, like, a best friend, a former lover, perhaps a future lover as well. And Creed, go ahead. Yeah, I know you want to say it. Creed pipes up.
She's one sassy black lady.
Totally. out to lunch. Fucking Creed. Kills it. So Mike postpones the Christmas party until she arrives, and he starts throwing stuff away. Everybody's freaking out. He says, I'll pay for the party. Like, fuck it. Yeah. We're going to postpone it until she gets here.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
And then he does a talking head where he says he wrote to Joe. He begged for this to happen.
Yeah.
And he thanks the Scranton Strangler for doing this. You took one more person's breath away.
That's so amazing.
Fucking awesome. So then the next day, I'm assuming it is?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the next day.
There's a snowman outside the office. There's decorations out. Mike says it's going to be a cool Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing what I would describe as like a Hugh Hefner smoking jacket. Like, yeah. Like that kind of thing. And with like a nightcap. It's like a Kangol hat. But it has the Santa Bob at the bottom.
It reminds me of something that Turk from Scrubs would wear.
Oh, totally. It's especially Kanga. When he fights an ostrich.
Yeah. But a Kanga.
So he does the James Bond line, like, eggnog, shaken, not stirred. Yeah. He even does it in the Connery voice, but he goes, classic Brosnan. Angela is hemming his pants and says she might bring her BF. The senator. And, you know, Michael just says it's going to be a cool, classy Christmas. Well,
he even says, like, can he help me out with some parking tickets?
Oh, yeah. And she's like, no.
That's not appropriate.
Yeah, he's not a real senator then. Because Michael Scott knows politicians, regardless.
Scary.
Are just greasy palms.
Yep.
But, so, Jim and Pam are in the kitchen, and they say they're going to do gifts later. And Pam does a talking head where she says Jim's always so thoughtful about gifts. So this year I made him a comic book. And she's all geeked for it. It's, what's it called?
Jimmy Halpert's. It's like Jimmy Halpert's.
I don't even remember. It's Jimmy Halpert, bear. Like Bear Man or something. Yeah. He gets bit by a radioactive bear and becomes like a superhero.
Yeah.
So Jim goes to his desk and there's a post-it note that says, it's time today at noon. And he hands it to Dwight, who then lights a fucking blow, like a lighter, and just... lights it on fire. So apparently the fight is on for today. We see Michael. He's pissed about the artificial tree. Mm-hmm. He gives Pam money to go buy one. And at this time, a man walks in. And it turns out Mike hired a bass player.
Just a bass
player. An upright bass player. Like, yes. Because it was cheaper to hire him for the whole day than a jazz quartet for the classy Christmas. Because that would cost more for a half hour. It's all classy.
Yep.
So Andy offers to help Pam, says they can use Daryl's truck. So they go to Daryl, who's on the phone with his ex-wife, and she says that his daughter wants to spend Christmas with her, because it feels more like family.
Around family.
Around family. And Daryl's like, all like, what the fuck? Dude,
that was heartbreaking.
It's well, because you know it happens.
Like, when he's like, I thought I was enough family for my daughter. It's like,
very sad.
My God, Daryl.
And he shoots down their request for his truck the first time. But like, then he feels bad and he changes his tune. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, I need some fresh air. So the three of them go out. Michael now tells Aaron to treat Holly well. You know, that's the love of his life. You treat her well when she comes in. Toby then walks in a Christmas sweater with like a big fucking reindeer on it. Oh my God, it's
Clark
awesome.
Clark Griswold all the way.
And Michael's like, why the fuck are you here? And Toby's just like, ah, it's lunch. I want to come for
the party. Come for the party, Michael.
And immediately everyone starts asking him questions. And he's like, the belle of the ball. And he does a talking head where he says he's basically using this whole thing to make friends.
Yes.
Because if they, you know, start talking to me, maybe they'll realize I have something to say.
Oh my God.
Next thing you know, we're just talking. He's so sad.
Like, maybe people will realize I have something to say.
Toby's awesome. Jim is waiting outside now, and he calls Dwight. And there it goes voicemail. Right to voicemail. He turns around to go inside, and the door is chained shut.
Right.
And Jim's like, what the fuck? All of a sudden, the snowman in the parking lot explodes, and it's Dwight. And Dwight viciously... Jim goes down to the ground, and Dwight is just hammering him with snowballs.
He has a backpack on his front with the snowballs pre-made.
Like a papoose of snowballs.
Yeah.
And he just leaves Jim lying in a puddle. It's fucking great, because Jim deserves it. After everything he did for 7 years.
Well, I love how he says, I have no feelings in my finger or penis. Worth it.
Yeah. And then we get a talking head of Jim with a bloody nose. Yeah. And he's like in the kitchen trying to clean himself up. And he looks outside and Dwight is just smiling.
Well, because he got a text or something that says, why don't you ice it?
Yeah. And Jim's like, what the fuck? He's like, you can tell he's shaking. Like,
yeah.
He got beat up. He's got like a black eye, a bloody nose. Yeah. There's blood all over his shirt. So Holly arrives and Aaron's quote here is so great.
But why did she show up midday?
Because she's Holly Flax. She's Holly Flax.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, Aaron's shown.
Who I didn't realize how much I disliked Holly until this episode. And like, it's funny because, like, I was, like, agnostic on her in, like, season 5. But now I'm like, yeah, I'm not a fan. Holly's annoying, actually. And I'm siding with Aaron because she walks in and Aaron says, sorry, I can't help you. I'm waiting for my boss's pretty friend to arrive. So awesome. So she realizes it when Mike comes out. And Holly and Michael start doing, like, Old West voices. Hey, you bastard.
Yeah, oh, like Clint Eastwood.
And then it turns into Three Stooges. And then they hug and turn into Cookie Monster. And she says she brought candy, but she ate it, half of it on the way down.
Yeah.
And, of course, Kevin's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's pissed.
And then they turn into, like, Michael's taking her to her desk, and they do Speedy Gonzalez.
Right, like, as an HR rep, you've now, they did a gay impression.
Oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're like, fabula. Yeah. And then they went into, like, Speedy, oh, I have my pistols. Like, what the fuck?
The funny thing is, when they do that voice, you see Oscar double take. Like, you're right. Why?
Well, first they did the gay one, yeah, and then they did the Spanish one. He's like, yo, what the fuck?
Flowers, Hulkster, like, yeah, one of those things. So they chit-chat at her desk a bit, and she pulls out Woody from Toy Story, a doll, mm-hmm, and she explains that AJ got it for her after they watched the movie together, and, you know, he pinned a, what's the song?
You've got a friend in me.
And that's when Michael finds out that they're still together, and we get sad Michael again.
But I do love when he's like, what a douchebag.
Yeah, he's like trying to find ways to, like, say, fuck AJ, right? So Andy, Pam, and Daryl are at the tree place. And Andy is projecting his insecurities on the trees.
So hard.
He's like, this tree looks a little full of itself. Why don't we get, like, a Charlie Brown Christmas tree and just love it for what it is? But you can hear Daryl behind them fighting on the phone with his ex.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all pissy. He's like, what, you pick a tree yet?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Pam, like, commiserates. She's like, if I couldn't spend Christmas with Cece, I'd be sad, too.
Yeah.
And he explains the situation, and Pam says, oh, bring her to the party. We'll make you the fun parent.
Yeah. You know? Do the church shit on her time.
Yeah, so Daryl's all like, oh, okay, cool, let's try this. And that's when they come back to the office with the tree, and Daryl says, Andy's walking in by Oscar, and he says, don't hug me, I'm covered in sap. And Oscar just goes, why would we hug you? Like, Andy is so looking for love in this episode.
He needs attention so much.
And Daryl walks in with his daughter, and Mike introduces himself as Santa Claus, even though he's wearing this smoking jacket.
And a Kanga.
Yeah, no beard, nothing. Yeah. And the girl's, like, really disappointed.
Yeah, and Daryl's like, I told her Santa was going to be here, Mike. What the fuck?
And that's when Michael's like, well, life's full of disappointments. I thought Holly was going to come without a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then Pam's like, well, why
who
did you...
Who told you that?
And he drops Nora Ephron. Do you know who Nora Ephron is?
I know. She's a musician, right?
No, like she did... artist? If I'm not mistaken, she's like the screenwriter for like When Harry Met Sally, like rom-coms and shit like that. So Michael's like whole take on Holly coming back was based romantic comedies where it's always a happy ending. Women are in the back with Holly. It's Aaron, Kelly, Phyllis, and Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking really probing questions.
Whoa. And, like, Pam is the normal one here.
Pam's trying to be normal. Because what does Phyllis ask her?
She's... Oh, God. Do you have an open relationship? What the fuck is Bob Vance doing to Phyllis?
And then Kelly's just like, so you don't want kids, huh? Because you're, like, 40. Like,
oh, my God.
It's, like, really funny shit. And then Aaron... Well, you know, maybe Holly's not in a position to be shooing away guys.
Yo, Erin fully redeemed herself in this episode for me.
Because then she does a talking head where she goes, I just don't get it. I just don't. And I'm like, girl, I agree. Yeah. 100%. And, God, I lost my track here. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing where they're talking about it. And that's when Holly says she's going to give AJ an ultimatum.
Yep.
Like, to propose to her because he hasn't committed that
yet.
It's been, what, 2-3 years, they say? And they said by the end of the year, so like, I guess 8 days.
Yeah.
From where they are.
You have 2 weeks, motherfucker.
So she says she's giving him an ultimatum for the end of the year. And Pam is like surprised. She's like, that doesn't sound like you.
Yeah.
Like, where's that coming from? So then Jim walks to his desk and he sees Pam enter on the other side of the room.
Yeah,
and they make
the
eye contact. And he turns and he sees Dwight, who's wearing a Pam wig.
And a red sweater. And Pam's red sweater, I think.
And he just jolts up from the desk with a bowl of
snowballs
and starts pelting Jim up against the door. Bam, bam, bam. Jim's just getting attacked on all sides. It's fucking great.
It's amazing.
And then Dwight does a talking head where he says he has wigs of everybody in the... And there's a montage. Him with a Meredith wig.
Yep.
Creepy as fuck. Him with a Stanley wig. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
And who's the other
Kevin.
One?
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. It's like... How do I even describe it?
It's a horseshoe. No. It's a bald on top, and it's got hair on the side.
It was like Benjamin Franklin in that episode. It was one of those, like the skull wig.
Yeah.
And Jim, we get the famous GIF, I just want it to stop.
Yeah.
He's tired of the mental anguish.
Seriously.
So Pam is showing Ryan the comic book, and he's being a dick about it. Yeah, like, well, you know, it's not based on source material or whatever, you know.
What's
Jim's, the origin?
Yeah. This is the bear story, not Jimmy Halpert's story.
So Toby's trying to talk with Jim, who shoves him off to the side, says, I don't want to reconnect now. Pulls out a lacrosse stick and fires a fucking snowball into the conference room at Dwight and blows out a window.
Yep.
And everybody is like, whoa, what the fuck? Everyone is shocked. And Jim is actually ashamed and embarrassed.
Yeah.
And he just sits down and he's got this faraway look. He looks like a shell-shocked Vietnam veteran. Like,
oh my God.
He's just like, oh.
Fuck, I missed.
So Mike goes to Holly's desk and he's doing a talking head over the video.
Yeah.
Some people you stay with when you transfer. Some you don't. Sour grapes.
Yeah.
And the show ends with him throwing Woody into the trash can and dumping his coffee on it. And that's it. So what'd you give this one, Bear?
I gave this one a 4.0.
I gave it a 4.5.
Wow.
Liked it a lot. It was good shit.
Yeah.
No, I like Erin. Really was. Erin killed it.
She did.
I don't get it. I don't, she's not
I just
pretty.
Don't get it. So I said, I thought the ensemble was great. Toby was funny.
Yep.
Andy wasn't like over the top.
Andy
at
did
all.
What he had to do. He yeah. was there. He made it like yeah. the, his whole point
he
was clear.
He earned his paycheck in that yeah. episode.
His point was clear.
Erin was funny, but.
The dissolution of the party planning committee.
Yes. But why do you think she hates Holly? Could it have anything to do with the fact that,
daddy
what, 2 weeks ago, Michael was her fake dad?
Yeah.
So that she sees this woman as, like, somebody who's dating
she's
her
like
dad?
Protective. It's like, yeah. What's that movie where the kid tries to... Oh, The Parent Trap.
Parent
when
Trap.
Vicky, the lady, yeah. is dating the dad, and they're like, fuck her! Like,
yeah, right.
It's one of the... It's kind of like that vibe to it.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't even give her a chance,
no.
honestly. She's just like... Fuck
I'm
her.
Waiting for my boss's pretty friend to arrive.
It's just, you ugly bitch. So, like, overall, the episode was great. The Jim Dwight stuff, and I'm going to talk more about it at the end of next
Yo,
episode.
Yo, that snowball fight is fucking amazing.
It is awesome, and it's so... I found so many parallels to other stuff with it.
Yeah?
That is so perfect, and I don't know, maybe it'll make you think in 2020. However... However,
I don't know. Now I feel like I totally lowballed this episode.
They made Daryl human.
Yes.
Because Daryl is usually a peripheral background.
He's kind of like a mythical creature.
He's like peripheral and he does funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really get a sense of him as like a dude,
yeah.
as a guy. And I think you did on this one. Like more so
yeah,
than usual.
Yeah, you see that he cares about his daughter. He can be hurt.
Creed thought Holly was a sassy black woman.
Oh my God.
There's so much to unpack in this episode.
Everything.
It was great. The Hello Kitty thing was funny. Like,
yeah.
I just
well,
thought it was great.
Well, because Kelly even said, she's like, I wonder if these gifts would be getting such backlash if I were white. And everybody's like, Kelly,
you
that's
can't
not.
Pull that. It's yeah. just a shitty gift.
And she's like, I said I wondered. I didn't say I think.
It was good shit, man. Good shit.
It was.
Everybody had a good line in this one.
This is a great episode.
So, anything you want to talk about?
No, it was just Erin.
Ah.
I like I said, she like redeemed herself for me in this episode. I didn't hate her.
As long as her and Andy are not together, I'm okay with it. Keep them away from each other. It's like a forced dyad for evil.
It's like Kylo Ren and Rey.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because, yeah, well, those movies sucked. So, yeah,
they
it is like them.
Good together.
No. No, no,
it doesn't make
no.
any sense.
It's like
sense.
Padme and Anakin. No chemistry. Anti-chemistry. But I digress.
Padme, I love you. Anakin, let me have our baby on Naboo.
I want to find my mother.
Oh my God, stop.
I hate the sand. Fucking Anakin.
Stop it!
It's the fucking worst. I'm glad you didn't have much of a career after that, Hayden Christensen.
I hate the sand.
The sand people took my mother.
Oh my God, stop. All right.
Anyway, so.
Right, anyway.
Put us over, Bear.
All right, guys. You can always reach out to us on Twitter at BrosisPodcast.
Yeah, do that.
All one word. We always like to post our favorite screen grabs from our weekly episodes. Kevin will share some weird stuff over there, too.
On occasion.
On occasion. also, you can reach out to us via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We'll read your feedback live on the air or just respond to you, whichever you'd like.
Yeah.
And, dude, where can they find us?
You can find us on most any podcatcher app that you listen to, as well as the Jenny Position podcast feed, where you can find us each and every Monday with new stuff, and you can find other great shows like The Journey to Infinity, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, and more. There was something I did want to bring up. So, yeah, subscribe to the Jenny Position. There was something I did want to bring up.
Okay.
So, the other day, I was, like, curious.
Okay.
Because I was like, you know, I wonder if we got any reviews...
Oh, God.
On, you know, one of the podcatcher apps.
Yeah.
And I did find one.
One?
And if I ever find it, what do you mean?
Just one?
Yeah, just one. And I'm pulling it up now and it's not coming up. Son of a bitch. Keep talking. All Say right. something. So I'm going to find us.
So while Kevin's doing that, guys, give us your feedback. What do you think of us so far? Honestly, our feelings aren't going to get hurt. But again, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast or via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
And I got one here. We got a 5-star review on...
Shut up! I was totally expecting, like, 1 star.
No. Look, if it was a bad one, I was going to read it. But I found we got a 5-star review on Podcast Addict from Star Trek Fan 75.
Whoa!
Whoever you are, you're a good dude.
Thank you.
Because I'm assuming Star Trek Fan 75, I'm assuming there's no chance you're a female. So, I'm going to say you're a good dude. And their review, fun show. We appreciate it because somebody thinks we're a fun show. Like, why wouldn't I not appreciate that?
Absolutely.
So thank you for that. If you guys want to leave more reviews on whatever app you use, you know, if it's Podbean, Anchor, whatever, I don't give a shit.
If you guys enjoy the show, let us know.
Yeah, leave some reviews because I think that'd be something that me and Mare Bear would enjoy reading.
Oh my God.
And I might even, if they're really good, I might read it on air. So who knows?
Well, thank you, Star Trek Fan 75,
which I'm assuming means you're 75 years, or 45 years old.
Yeah, born in 75. Yeah. Beam us up, Scotty. That's all I know.
You don't have to be patronizing.
That's all I know.
So you could have just said, damn it, Jim.
Damn it, Jim.
That's Dr. Bones. McCoy. Dr. McCoy. Our dad's a Trekkie. All right, Mary's giving me a look right now. Our dad is a Trekkie. His office is filled with toys.
Commemorative plates,
and he's gone to conventions and shit.
He has a Star Trek clock.
He has the toys, the fucking action blasters figures. and the ships. He has models of the ships and shit.
He had one of the Enterprise
insignia that you put on. Yeah, total nerd. Total nerd for Star Trek, man. So I'm not mocking you because I grew up.
No, not at all.
That's why, like, when I'm saying some of these things, I don't think Mare Bear grew up watching some of them like I did.
Not as much as Kevin did.
Because on PBS.
He was more into Babylon 5 when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. Well, Babylon 5 is how I came across Monday Nitro on TNT.
Well, again, guys, if you couldn't tell, like, we really are born and bred nerds. We're just not.
Born and bred.
We're just not Lord of the Rings nerds.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we're not like those virginal nerds.
We're the cool nerds.
We love you guys. But thank you for leaving more reviews. But now we'll get into this next episode. Yes. What is it, Bear?
So this is Season 7, Episode 12, Classy Christmas, Part 2. Part 2. All right, so again, there's no cold open, seeing as this was aired as one episode.
Yeah.
So we jump right back in. So Jim threw the snowball through the window, and now we just see, like, cardboard boxes covering the window. Everybody's in, like, their coats, their scarves, their
mittens.
Gloves. Yeah. And everybody's just bitching about how freezing it is. And Gabe is just like, in another instance when a fleece blanket would have come in handy.
You can tell he's like
so bitter about those fleece blankets not being in there. So now, Holly and Michael are reprimanding Dwight and Jim about their snowball fight and their antics. And
Jim seriously has blood smudged
literally
all
down
over
his shirt, like on his tie, everything.
Yep.
And it's almost like Pam doesn't give a shit that
Pam
he's
hasn't
being
even
terrorized
talked to him about it. No,
like, it's kind of amazing, actually.
Well, she's busy doing a party and Daryl's daughter and all that shit.
Exactly. So now I love Jim and Pam or Jim and Dwight's reaction to this because Holly's like, "I'm surprised with you guys. You two were best friends when I was here last time," and both of them are like, the fuck you're smoking, bitch.
They're like side-eye the camera. Yeah, and I'm just laughing because I'm like, what made her think that? Like, it's not like they
I know,
did
I was like
different.
Going through my head, I'm like, when Holly was there, they were like, it wasn't like they were going on sales calls together.
This strikes me as like when we were growing up and like maybe one of our aunts and uncles weren't around as much and they thought we were something we weren't.
Yeah.
And they'd say something and you're like, the fuck?
Yeah, who the fuck do you think you're talking
to? They just
to?
Think like, this is a thing I'll say. You're like, and she has no, like, frame of reference, apparently. Mm-hmm. So
Michael then makes up an entire story about having a girlfriend to make Holly jealous.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go through the story because it was so fucking stupid.
And Holly, like, does kind of look flustered.
Oh, yeah, she does he does get a reaction out of her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, you have a girlfriend, huh? Like, not that I haven't been living with a dude for the last 3 years.
Again, Holly makes no sense here.
Yeah. But anyway, so then Phyllis and Pam. Pam is showing Phyllis the comic book that she made. And she's like, oh, you haven't homemade this year, huh? It's money that tight? And she's like, no, Jim had a great year. She's like, are you good at homemade gifts? Pam's like, well, look at that. And she's just like, oh.
Meh.
But she, I love how she's like, I don't think we can help you, honey.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
So now Holly comes into the main office. She's very upset. She's holding her Woody doll, which is just covered in shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, who is this? Who did this? I'm leaving. I know I'm not welcome here, but if somebody doesn't come forward, I'm leaving. Phyllis is just like, I don't think Aaron likes you. Like, right under the bus. Right under
but
the bus.
But Aaron sells it so
yeah,
great.
She's like, why would you say that?
I don't even know her well enough to not like her. She leaves open the possibility that she may not like
right?
her.
Right. Then Michael says it's something Toby would do, and that he's jealous of all the attention Holly got. And Toby's like, actually, Michael, it sounds like something you would do. So then Kevin comes up with a theory.
The Toy Story theory.
Yeah, that, you know, Toy Story, the toys come to life. You don't think Woody... You don't think. Everybody just ignores him. And everybody's just like, no, it sounds like something Michael would do.
I love when Jim, though, just pipes up. He goes, I don't know why we're dismissing the Toy Story theory so quickly.
And so Michael admits, he's like, it was a joke. And everybody's like, no,
it was one
Michael.
Of those things. Like, it reminded me so much of season one when he does the drum roll. And then he's just like, ah, ha, ha, he just laughs uncomfortably.
Or Scott's tots.
Yeah, and just gives it away. Like, yeah. Oh, I did it because I can't deal with it.
Yeah, but then he's like, it'll make us, like, in years from now, we'll laugh about it when we tell our kids.
Oh,
and everybody's
yeah.
just like, oh,
Michael,
no.
Come on, dude.
Like, it's an audible groan yeah. from everybody in the office. And he admits that he still has feelings for her.
Tells her he made
and,
up the girlfriend.
Yeah, the fake girlfriend, everything. And... But Michael kind of calls her out on her shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you broke up with me because you said you couldn't do long distance, but you didn't break up with him. Like, what the fuck?
To be fair, they were together for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They've been dating for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And living together.
Yeah. And it's only a temporary placement while Toby's in jury duty.
Yeah. So to be fair, Michael's kind of off base on that.
Yeah.
Although everyone takes his side.
They absolutely do because he walks into his office and she tries to follow him and Aaron body blocks her. She's like, no.
No.
And then Kevin, he's like, what else did you lie about? Or did you lie about the maple candies? Did you really eat them? Like, he just calls her right out on her shit.
It also should be noted here that she doesn't leave.
She does not
she knows
leave.
Because everybody's against her, obviously.
Yes.
And Michael just did that to her.
In front of everybody.
And she doesn't leave.
Nope. Marcus. So it's almost like Donna.
Donna. Oh, the lady
yeah.
with the breasts.
When he's like sexually harassing her the whole day. And Pam's like, she had every opportunity to leave.
Yeah.
Like, every opportunity.
Pam was right.
So now Michael's upset and Aaron's in his office and
Aaron's,
go ahead.
She's just like, well, I don't think you're missing out much, but she just like pretty much tells him like,
you're way better off. Dude.
She just asks him like, is she a good cook or something? Cause like, I don't get it.
I just don't get it.
It's so awesome.
It's amazing. And he asks Aaron to get his street clothes for him. He doesn't want to be classy Santa anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It should be noted. During all of this, he's still wearing his smoking jacket and Kangol hat with Santa ball on it.
Yes. So now Jim has a gift on his desk. And it says, 2 pickles, open immediately. Love Swiss cheese.
Which I guess are the pet name. Has that ever been established that him and Pam call each other that?
No, I've never heard it in any episode.
But it seems
ever.
Like that was established here that even.
Oh, yeah. Because he opens it up and a snowball gets flung at his face. And his hands just go, or his head just goes into his hands. And Dwight says something along the lines of, you never thought that your cute little nicknames would be your downfall, did you, Jim? Make that a lesson for you all. So
my favorite part, though, is when it happened. Jim, okay, so there's an episode of Important Things with Dimitri Martin back in the day. It was probably about 2008 or so, I want to say. And there's an episode, they did a sketch called Bruce the Funny Dog, where it's this dog that does things, and it, like, you hear, whoop, whoop. And you look, and the dog's wearing a costume. And, like, every time they're doing bad news, like, the one time he's telling his wife, like, I just lost my job. Like, we're going to have to, like, crunch finances. And the dog shows up with, like, a rainbow wig on. And they're like, Bruce, now's not the time. And, like, every time it's, like, this inopportune time, the dog is wearing costumes.
Oh, my God.
So he's, like, on the bed explaining, like, a family death. And the dog shows up. The dog's dressed up like a priest as a Bible.
Oh, my God.
And Dimitri Martin just goes, God damn it, Bruce! Everything's a fucking joke! Like, and at this moment, Jim just goes, damn it, Dwight! Like, in that same tone, like, God, why? What? Everything's a fucking joke to you. Like, he freaks out on Dwight, and
yeah,
it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It was amazing. So now, Stanley.
Wistful Stanley is my favorite Stanley.
Oh my
Stanley.
God, it's amazing. So now, Stanley and Kevin are talking to Toby. And I think there's, Oscar's
Creed.
There too. Oh, Creed. But Stanley, like, they're asking him about jury duty. But Stanley's only concern is, about the food service, like, do you have to go out for lunch or do they bring it to you? And he goes, no, they bring it to me. And he's just like, you lucky son of a bitch.
It should be noted that because it's classy Christmas, Stanley is drinking a martini.
Yeah.
it looks so awesome.
But then we get a talking head of Stanley, which is great. And he's like, I've been trying to get on jury duty since I was 18 years old to sit in an air-conditioned room downtown judging people while my lunch is paid for. That is the life. it just reminds me of the decommissioned lighthouse.
Yeah. Oh, Wistful Stanley is my favorite. The Stanley who's just like, get me off this planet,
yeah.
Which is like my spirit animal. I appreciate it.
Yes. But just judging people.
What a way to put it.
It's true, though. That's what you're there for. And I still have not been called for jury duty.
Really?
I want to get called just so I can do a Stanley monologue.
I went once. I got out of it this year because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But there was a few, it was like
you,
5 years ago.
You, Dad, and our other brother did.
Yeah, we all got called in the same month this year.
Jesus.
But about 5 years ago, I went for jury duty, and it was like the week before Christmas, and it's like getting dark at 3 o'clock,
yeah.
And they take us into the courtroom, they start picking people.
Ooh.
And the two people on my right, and the two people on my left, and I'm sitting there like, oh, biting my nails. And they did like the 12, and I think two alternates or something.
Yeah.
Like that. I got away, man.
Oh,
but it was
God.
The most unnerving. When, like, they're picking us off one by one like a horror movie, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm next. Jury duty is brutal.
That's amazing.
Because you got to go to those people, and there's always that one person who wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, so there's this bridge in town that might be haunted. Hi, my name's Myrtle. How you
Stop
doing?
Stop it.
Oh, shit, you not. There was a lady there. She was insane.
All right, well, we get back to it. And poor Jada is sitting on the couch by reception with Daryl, and she's bored, so she wants to go to Daryl's office to read. So Daryl's like, all right, honey, let's go.
He's all down.
So Pam sees this, and she feels bad because she said, like, oh, it'll be fun, blah, blah, blah. It was her idea to bring the kid here.
she screwed the pooch.
Yeah, she really did. So now she goes into Daryl's office, and she's like, oh, my God, Jada, Grinch stole the star off the tree.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You turned her from Fargo again. God.
Sorry, guys. So anyway, they go down into the warehouse, and there's like an obstacle course type deal
with
set
like
up in the middle.
With like tinsel and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy's got like every single person from the office's coat,
yeah, he looks,
on his body.
He's like a rag man.
Right?
That's awesome.
That's not a Grinch. That's a homeless man. That's something from fucking
Blue's Clues?
No. Zoolander.
Oh,
like
yes.
Like the trash bags and shit.
Yes. Mugatu.
Yes. Not Mushu, Mugatu. So they're like, oh my God, Mr. Grinch, do we have to play a game?
Mm.
And he's like, yes, you have to answer topical political questions.
Yeah.
It's so obvious that Andy has nobody in his life under the age of like 40.
Yeah, he knows nothing about children.
Nothing. And they're like, okay. He asked the question, and I didn't even know the fucking answer. Something about the House of Representatives in
Pennsylvania. Oh, the amount of representatives Pennsylvania is apportioned, and what state has an equal number?
I'm sure you know the answer.
The state with the equal number, I want to say, is Ohio, but I'm not positive.
Okay. But anyway,
and
like,
it's, I think it's 20.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, so they're like trying to bait him, like, okay, why don't we play a game where it's, like, hot or cold, and you can tell Jada if she's hot or cold. Andy goes up to her, pulls out the star from the hood, and pretends to get it from behind her ear. And Daryl's like, and the game's over. Seconds later.
Yeah, he's just like, oh.
He's so pissed off right
yeah.
now. So anyway, we go back up, and we finally meet the state senator.
Yeah.
As the state senator, I should say. He shakes Oscar's hand. He introduces himself. And Oscar's like, I think Senator Lipton is great. He's got a firm handshake. Nice smile. He's gay. Blah, blah, blah. And so...
Yeah, he just, like, throws gay in the middle like a hand grenade.
Like, and you're like, wait a second. What the fuck?
So, it, going back to season three, Oscar has gaydar.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So, now, AJ shows up to surprise Holly. And she is shocked.
Rob Hubel is an odd-looking dude. Very. Don't know what to make of him. He's kind of reptilian in a way.
Like, but the way also that his nose comes down, it reminds me of Beetlejuice when Alec Baldwin
pulls it out and he does the... Yeah. Well, he kind of looks like a... This is going to sound cool. He sounds like a Dollar General Andy Samberg. He kind of looks like...
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? And but like,
or a Dollar General Will Arnett.
Nah, nobody's Will Arnett, man.
Nobody's Will Arnett, baby.
Oh, you're going to eat a fucking Reese's? Like, no. But his hair is, like, dyed jet black in this episode. I don't know if he had a role in a movie or another show or something at the time. Yeah. But, like, he looks bizarre.
And he didn't have that color hair the last time we saw him.
No, he had, like, sandy hair. Yeah. So he looks like a totally different person.
Yeah. But anyway, so he shows up, and she's just like, oh, my God, it's so nice to see you. It's so much harder, blah, blah, blah. Now, Michael does the better, like, the bigger man.
Yeah.
He comes out, he shakes his hand, he says hello, he says enjoy the party, it's so nice to see you. And then we get a talking head, and he just says, I am dead inside. Which is literally a meme that I've used at work so many times, I can't even count.
The will to live is gone. Yeah. The light is extinguished.
Oh, yeah. His eyes are dead. Yeah. It's amazing. So now, Daryl takes Jada into the break room, because she's hungry. He's like, all right, what do you want? And she's so amazed. And I'm just trying to think back to, like, when I was, like,
oh, I would have been in heaven.
And there's, like, four vending machines. Yeah. Like, oh!
A few weeks ago, I went on vacation, and I went into a beer place, and the options were so many. Even our brother was with me, and even him who doesn't drink beer, he's like, I'm kind of overwhelmed here. I'm like, dude, there's so many options. That's how, like, 8-year-old me would have been in, like, a vending machine. I'm like, wait, oh my God, Reese's, Doritos, oh my God, I could get a Mountain Dew, I'm kind of thirsty, like, right? I'd just be panicking.
Exactly.
And the best part is, like, she, like, goes gaga over it, and fucking Creed is in the corner. He's like, pretty amazing, isn't it? It's beautiful.
So she's like super amazed, and she's like, I don't know what I want. So then Daryl gets a good idea, and they literally, like, I think they have to almost buy out the vending
machine. They clean it out, man.
And Jada, and they stuff it into into the Hello Kitty laptop cases. Yeah. And they go around the office, and they hand out chips and, like, snacks to everybody, and she's like, Merry Christmas! And she's so happy! She's a happy kid. Adorable!
Happy child.
So now, let's see. Oh, but as she's handing it out, she, like, has something in her hand already for everybody. Creed, like, just reaches in and grabs it. Grabs his own thing. And she's like, what? And I can only imagine Daryl being like, honey, just walk past the weird man. Just keep going.
Don't look into his eyes.
So now it's the gift exchange time. Kevin gave Oscar UGG-like boots.
Official shoe of Tom Brady. Didn't know if you knew that.
Stop it.
No, he did commercials for
it.
Yeah, big into UGGs.
So now Phyllis went with homemade again. She didn't learn her lesson after Secret Santa.
Not for Bob, though. Well, like, because Pam was giving her husband a homemade gift.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing it for a coworker.
Yeah. But she knit Ryan an iPad cover that had a fish on it, and it said Pisces and Ryan in Miami Dolphins colors.
Yeah, the orange and teal. Yeah. Which I didn't know Ryan was a Pisces, because on like this show, you. No, he doesn't seem like a Pisces. He seems more like a Leo.
Gemini?
Gemini makes sense with the show.
Yeah.
He's got, like, split personality.
Yeah, exactly.
But, well, what are you? You're a virgin, I'm right?
I'm Virgo, yes.
Virgo the virgin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Vestal virgins, yeah.
God, okay, Randy. No,
never mind.
So anyway.
That'll be on a half hour of explaining. Just go.
So, Angela gave Creed a 5-pack of Old Spice deodorant.
Yes, this whole huge thing, like bulk. It's fucking great.
And Aaron gave Andy a card that had a pamphlet in it that said how to stop biting your nails.
I could use that.
Yeah, you could.
I know, they're pretty rough these days.
And then we see Michael. He's in the bathroom scrubbing the Woody doll.
And he has... Which,
oh my God, I know. It's so cute. He has, like, a little clothesline with his little vest and his bandana and his hat, like, with tiny clothespins on it.
I'm assuming they're like bobby pins.
It's so cute.
There's a snake in my boot.
And he's brushing with a toothbrush, which I'm assuming Michael Scott has many in his desk because of the soft teeth issue. So now,
and that's where the floss came from, yeah, too.
So now Angela is bragging about the senator's accomplishments and putting the parking meters that you can use your credit card in, which, wild fact for you guys.
Oh, you got a
Scranton fact? Scranton didn't get those until like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely something they jumped the gun on.
Yeah, they were way ahead of their time. Scranton, yeah, like legit just got them, and it's an app that you pay through. It's not even a credit card.
I'm sure in about 15 years, they'll get the Lyft scooters and... they're behind the times here in Scranton. Here in Scranton, people still listen to fucking Nickelback and what's that one?
Creed.
Uncle Cracker.
Oh, yeah.
Shit like
Toby
that.
Keith sells out the mountain. Oh, Toby. Well, yeah,
well, country. I mean, the surrounding area.
Oh, my God. I was at a restaurant the other day, and you'll remember this because it came up from our childhood.
I'll try.
John Michael Montgomery.
The Grundy County auction song.
Yes, that's the song that came up.
Hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'll give
you
anything.
Make a man, my God. I'll do your bedding and be at your beck and call.
With a bunch of like Amish guys dancing.
Yeah, I'm there with my husband and our one friend, and like it comes on, and in like something in my subconscious, I started singing it, my husband went, "How the fuck do you know this?" I'm like,
"He wasn't around."
No, man. I'm like, "Our mom raised us on this stuff."
Our mom listened to hillbilly music.
Oh my God, so much. But it just, when you said that, it made me laugh so hard, because I'm like, yeah, no, that was on a radio station.
That, and there's...
Not even, like, somebody's personal music collection. That was on the radio
station.
Still,
25 years later.
Yep.
That, Mary Chapin Carpenter was always playing.
Yep.
Fucking Deanna Carter, if you all don't know
Trisha
her.
Yearwood.
Trisha, oh my God, Garth
Joe
Brooks.
Joe D. Messina.
Joe D. Yeah, and...
Kenny Chesney.
I hate Kenny Chesney.
She loved Kenny
I don't
Chesney.
Like Kenny Chesney. I don't like his tight pants. I don't like that. It makes me feel very awkward.
Well, it doesn't make him feel
awkward.
Well,
no, but, like, she thanks much. Is he the tractor sexy guy? Oh, my God. And, like, he does, like, I don't know. There's something about Kenny Chesney that makes me, like, he's not country.
But he's not pop.
It's like he's trying to be Jimmy Buffett or something.
Is it? Oh, well, yeah. He had, like, the tropical type songs, too. But then we all found out that when he married
Renee Zellweger. He was the one, right? Yeah.
That, I think the fraud was honestly from him taking his cowboy hat on and her finding out he was bald.
Oh, bald as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a weird thing, because wasn't that like 2 days?
Weren't married very long.
It was like a Tom Green, Drew Barrymore thing.
Yeah. It was way above his station.
Well, none of that, but it just lasted a week. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we fucked up, everybody. Sorry.
We thought it was love. It was lust.
So bizarre.
Then we woke up.
Yeah, but Kenny Chesney's music doesn't really stand out to me. Like, I'm the kind of guy I could listen to anything. I'll listen to rap. Yeah. I'll listen to country. I like punk. I'll listen to rock. I'll listen to bluegrass. I don't care. I've even listened to opera at times.
I know.
I'm not... Just calm down.
No, I'm just saying. I know.
But I'm just saying, Kenny Chesney is one that never appealed to me. No matter what kind of mood I was in. It's just get it. Fuck Kenny Chesney. We're going to name this episode. We're not even going to put the show title. It's going to be Fuck Kenny Chesney.
I think you need to start a vlog. That's
no,
what
it'd be bad. It'd just, no, bad news.
So anyway, as Meredith is bragging about her state senator's accomplishments.
Not Meredith, Angela.
Oh, Angela, sorry. Meredith is Andrew. What comes up next. And she goes, oh yeah, you want to know what's bad? The teacher's union. And Angela's like already heard it all. And she's like, Meredith, not now.
She already has her stock answer.
Yeah. And she's like, then why don't you explain to me why my kid's 17 and still can't read?
Well, that's when Angela starts talking about how the senator is working on a bill to exterminate the geese at the park. I was like, what the fuck? It's just going to go through and have people, like, kill these geese. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God. So now Ryan walks in and asks who the bartender is. And Oscar's like, there is none. You make your own drink, but I'll make it for you. And he orders this ridiculous drink. And Oscar's like, I'm not doing that. Excuse me. So then Ryan's like, fine, I'll stick with my mojito, which is a very strange drink to have at a Christmas party.
And there's like all of them drinking those,
yeah,
by the way.
All of them are drinking. But Oscar goes to make the drink and he turns around and he faces Senator and we catch him checking out Ryan's ass.
Yeah.
And then Oscar kind of looks at the camera and it's like, oh, fuck.
Gaydar confirmed.
Yep. So now Jim and Pam are exchanging their gifts and
no,
Pam's
wait,
like...
Wait, is that... Did I not write that down? Oh, okay. You're right. Yes, it is. Because Jim's all paranoid.
Yeah, he is. He's like checking the ceiling tiles. Like thinks Dwight's going to pop down on him. So he's like, I mean, he's just, like, kind of cool, calm about the gift. And Pam opens it, and she's like, is it pebbles from the beach in Jamaica? Because everything that Jim does is amazing.
It's about a memory that he, like, finds, like, a sentimental gift.
Yeah, like the pencil that they used for mini golf that one time.
That fucking teapot full of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that.
And she opens it up, and it's a diamond bracelet.
Yeah, big time. And
Jim's like, I am good at homemade gifts. Can't make that, though. And so then Pam's, like, crying, and she's like, oh, my God, I love it. And
she gives... Oh, Bobby! Jesus. yeah.
She gives Jim his gift, and she, like, starts making excuses, like, I didn't have a lot of time. I'm so sorry. It's just a placeholder. And do you notice how I'm purposely trying not to do that?
I know. Like, no, it's, I wish you would. I wish you would, because it's hilarious.
But he loves his comic book. He's like, that's my bike. That's me. And that's my daughter. Like, he's so happy about it.
Or at least acting it.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. He doesn't like it. So then, we see Michael, like...
Hold on. They show... Because there's a talking head where Jim doesn't say anything after he gets his gift. And he just goes... Like, what's that mean?
Oh, see, I saw it, like... Because he kind of had, like, tears in his eyes, almost.
I thought he was just, like...
He was speechless. That's how I took it.
See, I took it to be him going, I put something into it. She kind of mailed it in. Like, that's how I took it.
I didn't take it like that. I took it as, like, he was, like, speechless.
Well, we'll see in future episodes if it goes anywhere, I guess.
True that. So now, Michael leaves the party, and Pam chases after him. And then he's like, oh, you're gonna fall in all the snow. Don't do that. I heard a story about a woman who fell on ice. She went into a coma, and her husband visited her every single day until she died. And Pam's like,
sweet story.
Well, that's so sad. And he goes, at least she was married, like, through tears. And Pam just tries to calm him down and tell him, she tells him about the ultimatum that Holly's going to pull on old AJ up there. And basically, like, be patient, Michael. And that gives him a glimmer of hope that he's able to go back upstairs and he's a hunky-dory, happy-go-lucky dude. So now Jim surrenders to Dwight. And Dwight rejects it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the only way he'll accept the surrender is if Jim hits Pam in the face with a snowball while Dwight watches. And Jim just goes, you're a psychopath. And he goes, I'll take that as a no. So now Michael gifts Kelly. He says, I saw this in the mall and it made me think of you, so I bought it for you at the mall. It's a Hello Kitty laptop bag.
Yeah.
And Kelly calls him out. She's like, Michael, this is the gift that corporate gave you. He goes, no, it's not. I bought it for you. And she wants to see the receipt. He doesn't have the receipt.
He gives you, like, a fast food one.
Yeah. How many number nines do you order? God. So now Michael overhears Holly and AJ walking back to her desk. And he's like, nobody is really friendly here, huh? And she's like, it's been so much harder. Blah, blah, blah. And he notices... Well,
she blames on the Scranton Strangler case.
Yeah, because of the case.
They're all hung up.
And, Woody. AJ goes, like, oh, man, what happened to Woody? And Holly lies and says that he fell into a... Apparently, she has a vat of blue cheese dressing next to her fucking salad that he fell in there, and that's why he smells. And it gives Michael hope, because she lies!
Yeah, him and Kelly are, like, ooh, listening on the other side of the wall.
So now, Jada gives Michael a hostess pie, and Michael says that's his favorite breakfast, which says so much. And he then goes and dresses as Santa so that he can listen to Jada's Christmas list. And Holly kind of looks back and, like, sees him, and she's like, oh, he's such a good guy. Like, a wistful moment. While she's on the arm
that's a thing,
of another dude.
That's a thing you hear about. Now, you're a woman, so I'm going to ask your opinion.
Okay.
I heard this is a thing that you hear about, that women take notice when a guy is good with kids. Like, that's kind of an eye-opener for them. Like, oh, this guy has a heart.
I wouldn't say patience, an eye-opener, but I would say it definitely doesn't bode badly.
It'd be a nod in their favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, you hear about, like, oh, that means they have patience. It means they have a big heart. It means they're, like, especially if if people want to have a family in the future, it's like, oh, he would be cool with that. Like, so, yeah, okay. I just wanted to see your opinion on it. Because that's something you hear about, and you're like, well, I don't know how much of that is true, but...
Yeah. All right. No, but, like,
you can tell it's what's hit tight, or Holly.
Yeah, Holly.
Holly's just like, ooh, Michael with a curl on his lap.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. I wouldn't say that it's, like, oh my God, he's good with kids. That's the man of my dreams. But it definitely doesn't go against
you. No, but that's the thing is they're playing
unless you don't want kids. Then you're like, fuck
that. Holly does, apparently, even though she's close to 40.
But that's, you're like really close to 40.
That's one of those things, though, where like the way they play it off on the show is that Holly sees it and she was just like, oh.
Yeah, hey, her eyebrows go up. Yeah. Like, hmm.
Yeah, so I didn't know if that was something that was like just a stereotype or what, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe to a certain extent, but it does, like I said, if you want kids and someday you want, like, someday you want kids and you see that, then it might be a good indicator of
what filed away for future use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, our last thing is Jim and Pam are leaving the office. Jim looks like he's traumatized.
Oh, he looks like
straight up looks like a war victim. Like,
this is going to sound horrible, but you know those commercials where Sarah McLachlan sings and you see the dogs?
Yes.
Did Jim not have the same, like, you see like a St. Bernard that got beaten up in those commercials? Jim had that same look in his eyes.
Or like the Chihuahua that's just
Like that's what he fucking looked like. It was horrifying.
It really was.
Oh my God. So he managed to like get that into his system. Yes, it's great amazing. Acting when you think about
it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Horrible, horrible shit.
They're out at the elevator and the lights flicker and Jim's like, have you ever seen us do that? Like, he's so paranoid at this point. They get downstairs and they walk outside. There's like 20 identical snowmen to where Dwight was hiding earlier. Mm-hmm. And Pam is just like, I'm so sorry.
She didn't know it was like this.
She didn't know it was this bad. She thought he was overreacting all day. And they, like, just make a run for the car. Jim starts using his umbrella and his bag to knock them over. And Pam's just like, oh my God, what's happening? He's like, run to the car!
He's murdering.
This is it! Yeah, he's, like, stabbing them.
He's going Oswald Cobblepot on these fucking things with his umbrella.
Fucking amazing. He's knocking them over. And then you see him not, like, killing, like literally stabbing his umbrella.
If Dwight was inside of it, Dwight would be dead.
Dead. And he's stabbing this one snowman that's right by their car. And then you see it. And Dwight is standing on the roof of the building just watching.
With an overcoat and a scarf.
Huge smile.
Looking like a Bond villain or something.
And he does it talking and he's just like, in the end, the greatest snowball isn't a snowball after all. It's fear. Merry Christmas, everybody. And that's the end of the episode.
Just like Moe's with that shirt that said fear on it.
Get in the coffin.
But yeah, that's where that
What'd
one...
What'd you give this one, dude?
I give it a 4.3.
I give it a 4.8.
We're that high, wow.
I thought
for an 18-minute episode?
Yeah. What was your favorite part? Almost perfect. Honestly, the whole snowball thing, like, just the way it escalated, and it wasn't anticlimactic. Mm-mm. They are so, it's so typical of them to, like, almost give you your tease, like, 5 minutes before the episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it was up until the very last. John Krasinski had an amazing performance in this episode.
Horrible shit.
Like, it was just amazing. Honestly, I loved it all.
I'm gonna be honest, so the Jim Dwight thing for the two episodes stood out to me the most. Because this was almost like Rod Serling wrote this episode from the Twilight Zone. Because if you go back and you watch some of those old Twilight Zone episodes, and a lot of them are based on human nature, the human experience, how people perceive things. It's not all like supernatural witches and aliens and stuff like that. It's a lot of it is actually deeply psychological.
Yeah.
Because Rod Serling served in war. He knew how people were. He knew how people reacted to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one episode in particular where they have a bomb shelter. And it's like all these people in like the 1950s like community. Yeah. They're having a birthday party. And the air raid siren starts going off. Everybody runs to their homes. The only guy in the area, though, there's only one with a shelter. And he only has stuff for his family, his wife and his kid. And they're putting stuff down there. And he's like, you guys should have been prepared. I was preparing this whole time. And these people are, like, freaking out. They're trying to use, like, what about us? You're going to let us die and all that. Yeah. And they're trying to, they break it down, but then finds out it's a false alarm. And then you're like, how are these people going to pick up the pieces? They destroyed their friendships. They were almost at each other's throat, killing each other. And then they're like, oh, well, we'll pay for it. We'll have a block party and raise money and shit. But, like, you saw who they were as real savages in crunch time. This is that. This is Dwight using fear. And Jim is searching under fucking ceiling tiles. He is looking at the elevator, like, what's going on? He can't walk out. He can't see. He's going to see a snowman for the next 3 months in Scranton and have PTSD.
Yep.
And that is, like, it's actually deeper than just a comedy show. And Dwight, like, with the thing at the end, it's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in 2020, whether you turn on the news or you go on social media, it's all fear. And it's not just, I'm not just saying the news is propagating fear, although if it bleeds, it leads. I'm saying that people have been infiltrated with fear.
Yeah.
And that they are lashing out. People who were neighbors and good friends are lashing out at each other now. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that's what, like, stood out to me when this, I wasn't even, like, going to talk about the episode. I was just like, the psychological effects of this show are just like, holy shit. It's like
amazing.
It hit me like a ton of fucking bricks. And I don't get I don't get Holly. I don't get But why? First of all, AJ drove 8 hours.
At least. At least.
Drove 8 hours here for what? You know. So she could go give him an ultimatum, tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
Although I guess we'll get to that next week.
Yep.
But like everything, like the stuff with Daryl and his kid was cool. I like that. I like that there wasn't like a big, how do I put it? Like
everybody Pam was and Andy, like in harmony at the end.
Well, no. That Pam and Andy didn't save the day for him. That he found something simple that him and his daughter could do for fun. That he solved it himself. I like that.
Yeah.
The Jim Pam stuff was awesome. Michael was okay. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But like the show overall, I really enjoyed it. And Oscar getting nugs. And Toby being
the senator's gay. Possibly.
We're burying the lead there.
Right?
The fact that is definitely going to go places.
I just love how Oscar's like, he's got a great handshake, he's got great politics, he's totally gay, you know, he's great.
Killer smile.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, since him and Angela hate each other, that is going to come to, I don't know when, but that's going to come to a head, so I'm excited. I'm
so excited to watch you watch this.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm actually, after season 6, I want to give up. Season 7 has been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, and I mean, I've seen an episode or two from season 9. I know it's going to get bad. But for now, I'm enjoying the ride, man.
Yes.
So do you want to talk about anything else?
No, that's all I had. But for next week, we have episode 13, Ultimatum, and episode 14, The Seminar.
Ultimatum. There it is.
Yep.
All right, guys. So we'll be back next Monday with the show. But before then, why don't you share the show around? Why don't you tell people about us? Why don't you tell your friends, your family, your acquaintances, your coworkers, whomever.
Let them know you like us. Yeah. And write a 5-star review if you want.
Please, leave a 5-star review on whatever app you listen to. You can find us on Twitter at Broses Podcast. Follow back. We will follow you. Follow us. Whores. We will follow you back. We're follow whores. And if you have longer form communication, hit us up on email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Thanks, guys. As always, for all of your support.
Absolutely. Oh, and subscribe to the Jenny Position feed, where you can find us each and every Monday, as well as other great shows throughout the week.
Woo-woo!
So, we'll catch you all on down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.